I'm Eric Whitney with Montana News. There are three seats on Montana's Supreme Court up this cycle, but only one of them is being contested. The candidates in that race are University of Montana adjunct law professor Kristen Juris and District Court Judge Dirk Sandifer. Interviews with both candidates are available on our website, mtpr.org. Today, we're airing Corin Cates Carney's interview with Kristen Juris.
I'm a fourth-generation Montanan, born in Conrad, Montana, and raised by my parents on my ranch. Went to the University of Montana for undergraduate. Worked for former Secretary of State Dean Rusk at the Rusk International Law Center, and then went to law school at the University of Georgia, where I graduated in 1982. I've been practicing law for 34 years, primarily representing farmers, ranchers, small business owners, nonprofit organizations, individuals in the daily legal issues that they face. It's very relevant to have an in-depth understanding of the legal issues that the agricultural industry faces, Main Street businesses. None of the sitting justices on the court have that sort of extensive experience representing the private sector. A diverse court is a better court. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg in the water rights litigation that is going to be percolating through the court, and I think that's a good expertise to bring to the court. I strongly believe that it's not the responsibility of the court to create legislation. The Montana Supreme Court has been noted in several scholarly articles as being a court that often legislates, which results in unpredictability and inconsistency. For example, between 1990 and 2000, they reversed themselves over 100 times. They reversed themselves again over 100 times since 2000. And then that creates uncertainty. Businesses, individuals, farmers, ranchers, they need to know what the rules are so that they can manage their affairs appropriately. Making our court more predictable, more consistent. It's been consistently ranked in the bottom tier of states by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for its business legal climate, and I want to be a part of changing that.
How do you remain unbiased?
It's a matter of choice, and it's the same analysis that we go through as an attorney in solving a problem for a client. You take the law, break it down to its elements, and apply it to the particular problem. And politics really doesn't have a role in that outcome. A fair legal system is a non-political legal system, and it's up to the justices to keep it that way.
And is there an example you can provide of a time when you had some kind of personal belief and that had to be set aside for the sake of preserving the integrity of the law?
Well, for example, in representing some criminal defendants, it has on a few occasions been difficult to set aside an inclination to say, well, I think you're guilty. I think pleading guilty might be the best outcome here. Setting aside those personal beliefs and realizing that each party is entitled to fair counsel. So often in a criminal case, you have to set aside, you know, maybe your personal conclusions as to whether your client is guilty or not and proceed. So that's one example. It happens in other areas. For example, I have some clients who, in an estate planning situation, may want to do planning to qualify for Medicaid, where personally I think that each person is responsible for their own medical expenses, and I generally am personally not in favor of deliberately qualifying somebody for Medicaid, but if that is a client's goal and agenda, it's my responsibility to set aside my personal beliefs and advise the client as to appropriate Medicaid planning, which in some instances absolutely is appropriate, especially when you're trying to protect a spouse who isn't facing nursing home costs.
Your campaign has received donations from several natural resource industry PACs, the Montana Coal Council PAC, Montana Gas and Coal PAC, Montana Wood Producers PAC. Why do you think they support your campaign, and does it say anything about any potential decisions on your end about natural resource issues?
I believe that natural resource industries have supported my campaign because of my background in natural resources. I worked 5 years in Oklahoma in the oil patch and have a lot of experience with oil and gas law and other natural resource development laws. And that is something that they're interested in, is having justices on the bench who have the background and the expertise of various areas that they face.
You've said that both yourself and your opponent are qualified. Why should they pick you?
Because of the current lack on the court of a justice with 34 years experience in the private sector. Agriculture is the number one industry in Montana. A justice coming with an agricultural background, living in a rural community, representing farmers and ranchers, filing and litigating water rights claims would also be important to the court at this time. I am the only candidate who has been ranked AV preeminent by my peers for excellence in the quality of my work and integrity and ethics. I've written 3 national textbooks and many articles. I was given the Outstanding Teacher Award, Outstanding Research Award, Outstanding Commitment to Students and Public Service Award. And those are all differences between myself and Mr. Sandiford.
Throughout the election season, he's been outraising you in funds for his campaign and outspending. Do you see that as something that is a disadvantage?
I'm glad you raised that question, because the rhetoric that I heard before the primary was, you know, jurists can't win, she's not raising enough money, she can only win with, you know, these independent expenditures that are probably going to come in. And I think I blew that narrative out of the water. I raised less than half of what my opponent raised, spent less than half of what my opponent raised, and had what I believe is a resounding win in the primary. I won 50 of 56 counties. And the reason is because I am running a grassroots campaign. I am out. I have been in almost every county of this state. I will be in every county by the time this is over, talking to people, meeting people, and answering questions that they have about the race. And I believe that that is more important than raising and spending money.
Is there any complication in that, just money being part of the process and selecting justices who are supposed to not have a bias?
Contributions to Supreme Court justices are currently limited directly to our campaign to $990 each. And I don't think that that's an amount that is going to cause any sort of bias. And my average donations are actually at approximately $150. So I'm receiving, by and large, very much less than what the maximum contribution is. In the last 2014 race, the Montana trial attorneys spent over $500,000 in the campaign supporting their candidate. I anticipate that they're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars again, and they are backing Dirk Sandiford. They're not backing me. In 2014, one law firm, the Heenan and Bishop Law Firm in Billings, spent over $60,000 of their own money supporting the candidate of their choice. They've formed another PAC this year and have already started pouring in money to oppose me. I do think when a handful of attorneys contributes over $60,000 to a campaign, that a justice should recuse themselves whenever those attorneys appear in front of that justice.
Kristen Juris is running to be a justice in Montana Supreme Court. I really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, Karin.
Adjunct law professor Kristen Juris is running to become a justice on Montana's Supreme Court. Her opponent is District Court Judge Dirk Sandiford. You can find links to interviews with both candidates on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Eric Whitney.